Spun Son of Everyone. Good evening, everyone. We are part of the Spun Son. This is Cheryl Catherine Smith and
Ash,
my co-host, Ash. She doesn't have a last name today.
Just Ash.
Yeah. She's just like Cher and Madonna. She's just Ash.
Exactly. And this is just Travis. You'll probably hear him breathing throughout the program.
Yes, he has the pug breathing thing going on where he makes really cute sounds. So you might hear him. He's a little sneezy. He's our not only our studio mascot, but he's also our daily living mascot.
He is awesome. Awesome. I love him.
We all love him. He is loved. He is well loved, and we're so glad to have him almost 2 full years since he arrived from Orange County, California, a shelter there. He's been a delight, and we're happy to have him here and share his energy and his love with all of you as well. For those of you who have animals, you know what we're talking about.
Yep.
We love animals. Tonight's show is the importance of myth and ritual. And we have posted on social media sites and welcome new listeners. If you have seen our show invitation on your social media site, your group, welcome. And we thank you for listening. We are going to be opening up our lines momentarily. Once we get the show started, we welcome all of you who feel inclined and led to share your thoughts and ideas on our subject and what we're sharing and saying. We allow all people to come in. We
come
are not cliquey.
In.
We
come
do
in,
not
friends.
Like cliques.
We love you for
we
who you are.
We are anti-clique.
So the number is 888-627-6008. And as we, you know, talk along and we get into the subject, I sure hope that you find something to say. And yeah, we want to thank actually Barbara Leonard for calling in last time, because that was really cool.
Yeah, she shared. She's a wonderful woman with a lot of wisdom and a lot of years on this planet to bring her wisdom forth. She's a reverend and she's a lovely lady, and she shared a lot last week on our topic, which was, I'm trying to rack my brain right now.
You sound tired.
I am tired.
Well,
we worked hard last night.
We worked really late last night, so we might not be quite as interesting as we usually are, but you know what? That's a true friendship. So think of us as your friends, because sometimes friends work late. Last week's topic, by the way, was monsters, manipulators, and psychic vampires.
Thank you for looking that up. So, yes, Barb shared, it was actually very helpful for those of you who are currently going through some trials and tribulations with regards to relationships especially. We encourage you to visit the archives on our page. We offer all of our previous shows for free download or just for plain listening. If you've got 55 minutes or so someday, maybe you're doing your housework or you're doing something and you want to listen to our show, please feel free to visit our archive page.
Yeah.
On our bbs.com site, the hologram radio
show. The dog
show.
Just sneezed on me.
He's a sneezy, playful guy. He's trying to get our attention.
I want to also say that we're going to be updating the website in the next couple days. I'm going to be working on...
Tell them what the website is, because if we have new listeners, they have no idea
who
we are.
Holo-gram.com is our official website, and we're going to be updating that in the next few days. But first, big announcement, and we are starting on this brand new venture tomorrow. What is it, Cheryl?
Well, actually, that's one of the reasons why. Just so you know, if you're a brand new listener, we are Hologram Band. We are found on the internet. If you wanted to Google us, either individually, Ash Riot, or Cheryl Catherine Smith, you can find us as well and get to know us a little bit. But our band project together is Hologram, as Ash was saying.
And Hologram.
The song that you heard at the intro of our show is one of our songs. It was our first release.
Which I think we'll play at the end of tonight's show.
Yeah, sure, that's probably a good idea. But that's only obviously an excerpt of one of our songs. And so we're going to be doing our music video for that song. And
we're starting a music video tomorrow.
Awesome.
Hologram is doing a music video.
So it'll be our first music video together. When I was doing my solo project, I did three music videos, one for All Dark Places, one for Smash Up My Telephone, and one for Pardon Me.
Which are awesome.
Thank you. And Ash...
I've never done a music video.
Never did a music video, although her album was received a lot of really great acclaim, and you didn't do a music video. Why?
I just wasn't in the place yet. Like, I was thinking about that, and I wanted to do a lot more... touring and playing before I released a music video, which you know, I mean,
you
could
actually
be back.
Did all the touring,
yeah, it could.
And you did all the playing,
not enough though.
Like, I think you did enough.
No, I mean, people could say I did it backwards or I did it the right way, but I wanted to kind of do more of the media stuff after I had a little bit of a name, so things could actually be received.
Oh.
But I don't know. I just
you jammed out, man.
I built a name, but I just
you built a name for sure.
I'm happy kind of letting go of what I did before and doing this now. So, I mean, that record will always be there, and who knows, maybe things will happen again in the future, but I'm excited to do the music video tomorrow. We're not doing the video tomorrow. I think we're just meeting with Ryan. Ryan Jarman is directing our video.
Has graciously offered to direct and help co-create our music video. So thank you, Ryan. We are eternally grateful. Ryan has not only talent in photography and now videography, but also he is a musical artist as well.
Yeah, he's great.
So check out his stuff too. Ryan Jarman, not the Fervor anymore?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so either Ryan Jarman, J-A-R-M-E-N, I believe.
Ryan Jarman Fervor.
Or Ryan Jarman Fervor. And you can find his album, I can't remember, sorry, Ryan, the title. But he has an album out there right now, and he's working on his next one. So thank you, Ryan, for joining us and co-creating a video for
Keep Your
Hologram.
Eyes open, people. This is going to be fun, and it's going to be cool.
We do have another video that has already been shot, and we're just waiting to release it. And that's for Sucker number 93. So we have four. We're working on that.
We're working on the second music video, but we haven't released anything yet.
We're on the down low, man. We're keeping it on the down low. But why? Probably not because we're being mysterious or cloaking ourselves a mystery.
Just waiting for the right time, folks.
Waiting for the right time when the stars are all in alignment and the moon says go.
By the way, if you call in, you're going to get some pretty sweet giveaways tonight. So,
in spite of our tiredness, Ash wants to give away
the
songs.
Well, the giveaways are going to be, if you call in, you'll either get one of these three prizes. You'll get an MP3 of one of our new singles, Hologram's new single, either I'm Back or Spun Sun, The Fusion, whatever you want.
Whatever you choose.
Or, if you call in, you will get one of these prizes. You will get an Ash Riot album, This Time I'll Forgive You Again.
Wow.
Or a Cheryl Catherine Smith album,
wow,
self-titled.
Look at this. I'm learning as we speak.
Yeah. those are your prizes.
There you go. We'll mail you the albums we're talking about.
And if you want one, just call in. This dog is really hurting me.
He's got sharp nails, and he's being a little rambunctious.
Anyway,
And he scratches, and it hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to our topic. That's a little band business and a little bit telling you a little bit about us, for those of you who don't know who we are. And like you, we have so much more depth to us, and it's hard to get into exactly. We'll spend the whole bloody hour. I'm suddenly British.
All of a sudden, you've been watching too much Dexter.
Spend the whole hour talking about ourselves, and that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about things that we all share, all that we have in common, topics that have come to us that we want to share with you. And this topic, the importance of myth and ritual, was actually spurred on, and I will say this from my perspective, by the amazing, incredible wisdom of Joseph Campbell. Now, back in 1988, there was a documentary that was broadcasted with the help of Bill Moyers, and it was called Joseph Campbell and the Power of Myth, and it was based on Joseph Campbell's book, The Power of Myth. Now, the first time I was introduced to this particular book and to this documentary series was back in 2002 when I was actually on the road performing in Watson Lake, Yukon, and just in my hotel room with my then partner in music, and just watching TV. I guess we'd done a show the night before, and we were doing a show that night too, and just sort of taking a break in between. And what comes on the one of maybe two channels that we had up there was the PBS show, and they were featuring Joseph Campbell, and they were featuring that particular documentary, the Joseph Campbell and the Power of Myth documentary. And for those of you who have not yet seen it, I strongly urge you to check it out because it's quite amazing. And that was what spurred me on to the Power of Myth. And I've always been extremely interested in mythology and in ancient history, which is mostly a lot of it is linked to mythology. I took, as part of my university courses, I was taking art, a lot of art history. And I don't know what that was.
It was a special noise.
Hello, hello, hello.
If you've heard it, you are the winner of $10 million.
Yeah, okay, we'll take it. Okay. We need money to record. We'll take it. Anyway, so I took a lot of art history, so a lot of it was about based on myth. A lot of ancient art is based on mythology and the myths of the gods and the goddesses and on and on. And so a lot of us, including myself, tend to relegate myth into a certain box called pretend or imagination. And one thing that Joseph Campbell did for me that day is he opened my mind to the possibility of how myth can actually be incorporated into my contemporary life. And so I wanted to share this with all of our listening audience and also with you, Ash, because you and I have never really talked like this together. Mm-hmm. We're doing this for the purpose of the show. And I just wanted to put it out there because one thing that he speaks about, the reason why he says that myth can be powerful for a person living today is because he's asking us to compare our lives to the amazing characters that appear in these old stories of mythology. Now, most of us would separate ourselves from these characters, and we sort of say, well, they're gods, demigods, and I'm just a plain old everyday person. But what Campbell is pointing out in his book, The Power of Myth, is that that's not, in fact, the case, that each of us is, in fact, connected to heroism in that we are so amazing that each of us, mm-hmm. every one of us here on this planet, have the abilities and the actual, I guess we are mythological mm-hmm. in our own ways, but most of us either shrug it off or we don't think that we have that ability or we just think, kind of relegate ourselves to kind of a lower life form or something. I don't know. It's just really, that's what I wanted to speak about. Like, why is myth important? Most of us kind of think of myth of, you know, old stories that have no relevance to us. Like, we kind of dismiss them, unless you know, as I did, go to university and learn a lot about them, or you have your own personal desire to know about mythology. But otherwise, most of us are just kind of busy going about our days, driving to work, doing our work, coming home, having dinner, watching our show, going to sleep, getting up, having a shower, having breakfast, drive to work.
Yep, same old.
And not really connecting with the power of myth and how that can actually become relevant.
Well, I think that if anyone has the power to think of something than their present circumstance, it gives them something to dream about, it gives them something to hope for, it gives them, you know, even, I mean, in there's some negative cases where people kind of just always think about what bad could happen or whatever, but I mean, I think that the power of the mind, power of thought, is one and the same as the power of myth. And I think that myth can turn to what our other word of the night is, ritual, quite easily.
Well, another thing that Kemmel mentions is that this is another thing that was hugely influential for me in being exposed to Kemmel's work, was how myth related to following our bliss. He says, our bliss is an activity, work, or passion with the power to endlessly fascinate. It is unique to us, yet may come upon us as a total surprise, and we may resist it, for years. And in modern psychological phraseology, bliss is the state of flow that we experience when we are doing what we are best at. Time seems to stand still, and we feel effortlessly creative. Huh. This is about joy, as distinct from merely pleasure. So Campbell portrays bliss as the track that has always been waiting for each and every one of us. We each have our own bliss. And if we were to follow this bliss, we are in fact living our life's full potential, which again ties in to the power of myth, because myth is about these people who have done great things. Mm-hmm. And we've relegated them, as I said before, to demigod status or god status. Mm-hmm. And they have great power, they have great wisdom, they have great ability, they have great action. And so what if we were to actually place ourselves in the same position? Mm-hmm. And he encourages us, and this is one of my most favorite quotes that Joseph Campbell said, and this for me was life-changing. If you do follow your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of track that has been there all the while, waiting for you. And the life that you ought to be living is the one you are, in fact, living. Follow your bliss and don't be afraid, and doors will open where you didn't know they were going to be.
That's really cool.
So he basically, with bringing mythology into our day-to-day living and lives and sort of presenting it in such a way that we need to be open to that, is taking it one step further and saying that in order to become these great heroes of our own lives within, like the great heroes and heroines of your own life, within your own life, is it really is giving yourself permission to follow your bliss. Mm-hmm. And most of us have fallen prey to the illusion that we're supposed to be just doing our drudgery. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people will be going, well, we got to make a living, we got to pay our rent. I mean, of course, that's each and every one of our reality if we are here in the physical world. And this is the thing that I struggle with, because especially as an artist, my bliss is in creating. Mm-hmm. My bliss is in writing, you know, a poem, lyrics, a melody, a song, a great letter, creating a beautiful collage, creating a beautiful painting, right? Using my hands, sculpting, whatever. In any way, shape, or form, being an artist, that's my bliss. What's your bliss, Ash?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as you. Like, creating and wanting to find meaning, wanting to find financial gain in the things that you
love doing.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there are jobs out there that I could make a better living at than teaching music, but that's what I want to be doing. And I know that there is pull from both sides, from both me and students, to make sure I keep doing this, because it's beyond just a money exchange and a talent. It's something more, it feels like. Like, it's a bliss that I'm meant to be following. So, you know, that's what... See, like, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, what about the people who don't know what their bliss is? And, like, that's the hardest part. Like, for me, I've had people in my life that have not known what the heck they want to do, and they just try so many different things, and they end up just chasing their tail.
Yeah, well, I don't think that that's reality. I think that...
I don't either.
I think a lot of times people do know what it is that their bliss is, but they've already talked themselves out of it.
Oh, that's
because
most people
feel... It's like we're ingrained, we're culturally ingrained, and I know this from my own personal experience, where I actually had a family member tell me that, well, you can't do what you love to do, basically telling me I can't be an artist, because nobody... ever loves what they do, you have to work. And when you have that kind of mentality, and if you truly believe that, to me, you're merely existing. You're not thriving.
Yeah.
You're surviving in this physical world.
Yeah, I know.
So what are you doing that for? You're just kind of existing till what? Till you die and go to this promised land?
Well, I mean,
you know, that's kind of, to me, that's really sad.
Well, there's got to be things like, even if, say if you get a really good paying job and you don't mind it, but you're not super excited about it, but you do it because your family is your bliss. That to me is really admirable.
Well, that can be your bliss, of course.
Yeah.
You can decide your bliss is your family. And
so you work hard or whatever?
Well, no, or you do the opposite. If your bliss is your family and you get most joy out of being with your family members, why wouldn't you just do a job then that allows you freedom in your time?
Well, maybe it does, I'm saying. But like just a good paying job that you still work 9 to 5, but you're supporting that family. I think that is a form of bliss because it really makes, like, I've had a lot of friends who are, you know, just starting a family or whatever, and it's, of course, their main objective would love to, you know, be with the family all day long, every day, but there's a certain level of satisfaction and pride that comes from, you know, being able to support your bliss.
Well, of course, I mean, that's what we're all challenged to do here. You know, finding your bliss, it's also about balance. I mean, this is, we're going off topic here into just kind of life stuff. But I like Joseph Campbell's explanation.
Yeah,
you're saying
too,
that you have friends that are having difficulty
finding
their bliss. They don't know who they
even
are.
Even clients, like students.
I think, well, plus you're dealing with students a lot of times who are growing up, their youth.
Or even older. Actually, like quite a few people over the age of even 40 have just said, you know, I've tried this. And then later, sometimes it comes out, oh, I can't do that. That's what I love to do, but I can't do that. And that's one of the most limiting things I ever hear is, I can't do that. That's not realistic.
Well, that's the head getting in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So Campbell's saying, if you follow your bliss, and he describes it once again, I'll say it's an activity, work, or passion with the power to endlessly fascinate. It is unique to us, yet may come upon us as a total surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And we may resist it for years. And this is what you're talking about, these types of people that have resisted their bliss. And in modern psychological phraseology, bliss is a state of flow that we experience when we're doing what we are best at. And that's when time seems to stand still and we feel effortlessly creative.
Yeah.
And he says this is about joy, which is very distinct from merely being pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
It's joy. So that, you know, again, tapping into ourselves, tuning into our own bodies, what brings us joy? What do we get lost in? I'm sure there's things that each and every one of us, that when you're actually in, say, for example, you're playing guitar and you're creating a melody or you're coming up with ideas and you're just going, there is no time.
Yeah.
It's like the flow is there because you're not going, oh, geez, when is this going to be over? I got 10 minutes of this and it's agony. For you, that's bliss because it brings you that sense of joy that timelessness and that flow.
Definitely.
Now, for another person, picking up a guitar can just be pure hell.
Oh, and I've seen that too, where like kids don't come back because they thought that they'd just automatically be able to play.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could, you know, someone could just, you know, bestow upon me the ability to play like Mozart, you know, and I could just do it. I mean, all of us, you know, we want things instantaneously, but we're talking about that state of bliss. And because what Joseph Campbell's saying is it's that track, but it's, again, it's getting out of the mindset. So you're dead on in that you're saying, well, people are saying, well, I still don't know and I can't do that. That's not realistic. So it's changing the mindset because even in his that beautiful quote that I said about bliss, he says that it's about getting on track.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a definite degree of faith and trust that is required because, as Campbell says, you need to be open-minded for the doors to present themselves. And you can't think yourself into this.
And
you have to be in it.
And you can't even worry yourself. Because if you keep worrying and worrying and stressing, you're going to miss the doors the same.
Exactly. So, I mean, for each and every one of us to be in the physical world, to have this physical experience is challenging. It's not always blissful because there are certain things that we can't control that are outside of ourselves that can cause us some friction and, you know, and frustration and whatnot. But what we can control is our own lives in terms of what our choices are. Mm-hmm. And if we were to truly and completely believe that what we desire for ourselves, what gives us our bliss, is in fact our life's, let's call it a mission. Mm-hmm. If we got to that place of faith and trust, I think it's endless, the blessings that can come to us. But of course, many of us get distracted, or we get overcome by doubt, or we're overcome by fear, or there's that doubting voice that says, who are you to mm-hmm. feel this joy? Who are you to earn a living by what you love to do? I mean, mm-hmm. George Burns is famous. He said, you know, he was very open about how he got to do what he loved, and he was so grateful for it, and he encouraged everyone else to do the same, you know, and that's basically following your bliss. Do what you love, get paid for it. And mm-hmm. I mean, we're doing it, and it's tough even as artists, because it's a whole different thing for us as artists. And you know, again, that's it. You can't kind of rely on immediate reception.
And that's what we have to keep telling ourselves.
Exactly. We have to just keep following our bliss and keep creating, and because it feels right. It's our flow. It's what we, where we thrive. It's where we feel that sense of the connection with mythology, which is that highest.
Well, that's what I was just going to tie it back into, is bliss is great and everything. And it's, you know, that is a reason to push for it. But bringing it back to our topic of the importance of ritual for us, like, that's what the music is, really. Like, I come out of creating, or I have in the past or whatever, of just feeling like so free, and that to me is something that's completely irreplaceable, because like, I'm not going to go and do something adrenaline inducing like skydiving, because I don't want to ever do that. But to me, that I equate that with like having a product or a song, or whatever you want to call, on recorded. Like, that's something exhilarating to me. And that's, to me, that is as powerful a ritual as anything.
Well, Campbell says that we don't look to myth to find the meaning of life. Mm-hmm. What myth serves is its purpose is to make us appreciate the adventure of being alive. So for you, the adventure of being alive is in creative expression.
Oh, yeah.
For another person, the adventure of being alive could be jumping out of an airplane. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, it's about individuality. It's about each of us finding our individuality. And I said earlier that we are anti-clique. And I find that a lot of people tend to feel more comfortable in groups. Mm-hmm. And not that there's anything wrong with that, because we're social. Of course, we're social creatures, right? And we do need that kind of sense of connection and self-expression amongst each other to find out, even what we're doing today, this radio show, we're reaching out to each and every one of you in our group here, mm-hmm. connecting with you and saying, hey, what's it like to be alive? What do you think of this topic? What does this mean to you? Because this is where we get to kind of interact and get a sense of ourselves in the reflection of each other. But the reason why I said anti-cliques is because I think it's so important for us to recognize that it's oftentimes fear that keeps us away from expressing ourselves totally and completely. We're afraid of being any different than our social group, mm-hmm. or our clique, or we want to feel that we belong, so we kind of connect ourselves to a group, saying this is, and we identify ourselves with this particular group. And what I would like to encourage here, with the power of myth, and also we're going to talk about ritual a little bit more in depth, but also just saying the importance, and it's imperative that each and every one of you have a sense of your own selves. And that is, again, coming back to, you're saying a lot of people are telling you, I don't know what I want, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that's because a lot of us don't even know who we are. Mm-hmm. And we haven't given ourselves that sense of self-connection, either via meditation or prayer or just intensive soul searching, just mm-hmm. really looking within and getting a sense of who we are and where we belong. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be pretty frightening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, definitely. But it's definitely really rewarding.
Oh, yeah.
And so getting to ritual, you just described that even your creative process feels ritualistic to you. I want to talk about ritual and just give you a quick definition of what I found on Wiki, because I love this. Ritual is a stereotyped sequence of activities involving gestures, words, and objects performed in a sequestered place and designed to influence preternatural entities or forces on behalf of the actor's goals and interests. I like that, preternaturally.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of getting in outside ourselves into this like etherical kind of world.
Yeah, I like that.
And it also says that there are any limits. There's no limits to the kinds of actions that may be incorporated into a ritual. You can bring in music. You can bring in songs.
Yeah.
You can bring in dances. You can bring in consumption of spiritual or special food, drink, even drugs. Some rituals are performed using peyote and what. We've had shows in the past. For those of you who are listening, if you wanted to look back to our shows, we do talk a lot about that. And use of special dress and much more. And Catholic Mass is one of the most widely performed rituals in the world. And also, it's interesting, I noticed, I read somewhere that OCD, the obsessive compulsive disorder, is hugely linked to ritual.
Hmm.
So we're talking about the importance of ritual in our lives. And your ritual could be in the way that you sit down, pick up the guitar, have a song come to you. It could be where you're seated, where you're comfortable.
Exactly. That's a big part of it, comfort. Like where you feel like you can just let it flow, right?
And I think that ritual is especially important in performances in terms of connecting to yourself, but also to the supernatural world. I think it's very important. We have a caller.
We would like to welcome Betty to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Betty.
Hey, Betty. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
We're doing good. I mean, you know, life is what it is. Sometimes it's absolutely amazing, and sometimes it's really scary.
That's true. That's very true. You are on a pretty interesting topic tonight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It sort of is fascinating me in some ways. When you speak about bliss, I think it's really difficult for people to reach a state of bliss where it's a 24/7 year-to-year kind of thing. I know for myself, I'm just speaking for myself, I've had many times in my life where I've felt so happy and so blissful, and you brought up a really good topic tonight about playing guitar. I started singing when I was about 4 years old. My dad got me singing, and people used to throw money at me and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I went to a Catholic school, and I was in the choir, and did that for years and years and years. And then when I was 14, I performed at Bridgeview Hall in Surrey. And there was a fellow named by the name of Alberta Slim, and he was there at the talent show. And he asked my mom, he said, this girl can sing, and we'd like to sign her up for a contract. I didn't know about this until I got older. Music was always something that I just grew up around and I always wanted to do. As I got older and got married and had kids and things like that, and my ex used to tell me I was too old to sing and that kind of thing, but I was from a musical family, so whenever my brother was performing somewhere, they'd get me up to sing, and I just loved it. And then I formed my own band, and then I was the lead singer. And so to me, on stage was the most blissful and happiest time of my life. I felt like that's where I was meant to be. I still sing. And I bought this little secondhand guitar and made a music book and taught myself to play chords. And I wrote some songs. And one time I was in hospital and the lady next to me was very, very sick, and that was one of the most important times in my life, because I was actually witnessing someone who was willing herself to die. Now, when you're in a hospital in a room with two beds, you don't really. The lady didn't talk, but I could feel all of her pain and her emotion and things like that she was going through. And sometimes she would hold her breath for a very, very long time, and I'd lay in bed awake on my side just watching her and thinking, oh, my God, you know, do I call the nurse now or, you know, that kind of thing. And I always used to take my guitar into the hospital with me, and I would my body was in total pain, but when I picked up my guitar and I would sing in the hospital, I never felt the pain in my body, and I never even thought about it in my mind. And so I was looking at Rose, and it was one of those things, and I'm sure because you girls are both songwriters, you'll just, all of a sudden, these words will just come, and you're just writing them down as fast as you can, and you can write a song in 5 minutes.
Oh, and, yeah, and you know, it's almost as if you, after the song's written, you don't even remember writing it.
Well, it was really weird, because I wrote this song for Rose, and even the chords came so natural. Even the melody came so natural. And I sang it to her about an hour before she passed away.
Wow.
So I
that's
rewrote
intense.
The... pardon me?
I said, that's really intense. Like, that must have been a really
yeah.
intense experience.
It's indescribable, indescribable, whichever one is correct. But so I wrote the song out again so that it could be read properly, and I put it up on the wall. And when the family came in, they seen the words of the song, and they said, oh, my God, did she tell you all this? And I said, no, she never spoke to me at all. And she said, you would think by reading these words that you've known her all your life and known what she was going through. So I recorded it on just a cassette, and they took it with them to play at the memorial service.
Oh, wow.
Rose had been, yeah, it was pretty incredible. And Rose was, she had resided at a senior's home, not a senior's home, a care home, with the Salvation Army one. And the son and the daughter-in-law, Rose's son and daughter-in-law, was telling them about me, and they invited me to her memorial service that they had at this care home. So I thought, oh, gosh, I didn't know her or anything. What am I going to say about her? So I just start talking about her and what I felt. And they wanted me to sing the song, and I sang the song, and I had people coming up to me afterwards ask me, well, how long did you know Rose? And I said, I only knew Rose for 5 days, the 5 days I was in the same room with her. And they said, you put her life down exactly the way she lived it. She had such a hard life, and I just can't believe that you wrote those words. And so it's those moments that I think all of us experience, moments of bliss, and it could be an hour, it could be a minute, it could be a week, it could be a month or whatever. But I don't think it's so difficult to stay in that, because the circumstances don't remain the same, because we're always moving, we're always evolving.
That's true. That's an important point to make. That we're always changing. So, I mean, what might be bliss in 1 minute might not quite be the next minute, and being open to new forms of the bliss finding you.
And although it's great to be in that that state. With what's going on in the world today, it's very hard for anyone who, is, you know, things that are going on in the world, I won't bother describing because you know what I mean. So, you know, for those people, it's hard to find any kind of a blissful moment. And so I think, although it would be a great place for all of us to be all the time, sometimes circumstances and different things that are going on without our consent happens, and it's hard to grab that state of bliss. So although I understand what you mean, and I understand what that feeling of bliss feels like, there also has to be, because we are always flowing, energy flows, the earth is, the people in it create different flows of energy, and so we're not always able to grasp that state of bliss. So I understand completely what you say, but it's not always attainable depending on your circumstances.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, sometimes it's just knowing that bliss that will get you through the hard times and to the next moment. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of just like having a taste of something and knowing that, you know, it will come back. Or, I mean, it's not having to always have that taste in your mouth. It's just about trying to achieve it again and knowing that what you're going through is, you know, just a waiting period, if you will, towards the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a beautiful story. That the story you shared to me, Betty, is about that kind of supernatural connection too. You're saying that you connect to the woman, you could feel her pain. There was no dialogue, there was no verbal dialogue, but it sounds like there was a lot of psychic dialogue going on between you.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful example of just, I think, her bliss and yours. I really do feel that was an example of both of your blisses. For you to be told that you were basically taking her life and putting it in a song without having ever known her, that is her bliss being shared with you. I mean, that's very powerful. And I appreciate you sharing that story, because I think a lot of people can relate, where there's some things they just can't explain or they can't quite understand with their own minds, but they know it to be true with their own experience and their own connections.
It's proof that you don't even need words, that we can communicate with our minds, and there needs to be no scientific explanation.
Yeah, and I like that you shared that about, I didn't know that about you, that you were a singer and a songwriter. And this is wonderful to now know about you and to know that you find that bliss. And it's something that I relate to with you, because that's where I've always found my bliss. As a child, I would do the same. I started writing songs at a young age, and I would perform, and my dream was always to be a singer. And I do feel like it's never too late. And of course people are going to say, yeah, it's too late, but you know, it's all about reworking the context of what it is that we are doing in our bliss, and letting go of expectation. I think just doing it. I understand what you're saying about the rest of the world. And I touched on that earlier when I said, of course there are external factors that will tend to interfere at times. But I want to bring in another thing that Campbell said, just for more, perhaps even clarity. Campbell portrays bliss as the track that's always been waiting for you, with hidden hands seeming to help you attract the right circumstances for the fulfillment of your work. And in mythological terms, bliss is represented by the cosmic mother, or Gaia, or Mother Earth. And she is one who guards an inexhaustible well, offering solace, joy, and protection from mundane life. And I think that bliss in this context is where we have those moments. Mm-hmm. I don't think that us being in the physical world, we're meant to be just living on a cloud of bliss for, you know, say my grandmother, for example, she lived to be 100. She didn't have 100 full years of bliss. And I'm just laughing because she worked hard. She was a woman who came from the Ukraine, and she homesteaded in Saskatchewan, and she had a family of 8 children, and they had a farm, and they worked hard. She was up at dawn and you know, down at when it was dark. And but I do know that her bliss was her accordion.
Cool.
And her bliss, she would pull out her accordion and she would play it, and that was where she was in her blissful state. And it was also in her ritual. She was a devout Christian, and her ritual was reading the Bible, and that was also a form of bliss for her.
Cool.
And she also loved to make quilts.
Oh, neat.
So looking at each of our lives, and just, it's not about unrealistic expectations, or is it? Is it about resetting our expectations? Is it about turning off the negative head thoughts? Mm-hmm. Is it about allowing ourselves to embrace the heroine or the hero that resides within us? And that's the connection to the divine that we are and that we have. And that's my only comment. Again, we are, as I said, living in the physical world, and you and I well know that, you know, being in this physical world where you have the level of fear that has been bred with people's thoughts and the energy that they're creating with it and the destruction and the harm, it's very challenging to remain in that blissful state collectively.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like darkness and light. You can't appreciate the light if you've never been in the dark.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that when we do reach a state of blissfulness, we can recognize it and feel the joy and everything, because we may have experienced something totally different and something really challenging. So I think that because we are evolving beings and our emotions evolve and revolve, and so I think everybody, although they may not be in a state of bliss for long periods of time, I think a lot of us have felt that bliss, and we know what it feels like. And it's something that we'd all like to attain. But if we were blissful 24/7, we may get bored of that, you know. So you need something to contrast it.
It will have nothing to strive
for. You know what I
mean?
That's very true. I believe what you mean. I think we are. We would, in fact, get bored. I think you're correct. And we wouldn't recognize the beauty of it and the feeling of it.
Right. Right.
That's really cool. Like, every time that you've called in, you've shared a lot of really cool things and really cool stories for people to remember.
I'm just glad that I was available to listen to you guys tonight.
I am too. It's been a while. We haven't talked. Wow!
Yeah, you're great. We really love the connection with you, for sure.
Oh, me too.
Thank you so much.
So I have listened to some of your archives, and yes, and it was nice speaking to you, girls. Take care. I love you.
We'll get your email we're gonna get your email from you, Betty, on Facebook, and send you a few songs. Okay.
Oh, fantastic! Oh, that'd be great.
We love you, and we appreciate
you,
and thank you for sharing so openly.
And have a blissful evening.
You too.
You too. Thank you.
Evening of
perfect.
Bliss.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, that was great. I think
that
was perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful, Betty, that you called and that you shared that story. And I hope that other people can recognize and follow their own bliss. And Betty's bliss was her singing and her guitar and connecting to the flow.
Exactly.
You know, and the writing, like you said, I love that you shared that. Sometimes you write a song and you kind of don't even, almost like you've transcended and you don't even know where it came from.
And you got
a song on the end of this transcendent experience.
Well, most of the songs I've written on my own. And those are the songs that I don't remember really creating. Any song that I've written with you, like a few, like whenever, it's like there's things I don't remember, but because I have to be so deeply engaged in a dual connection, like you and I, it's I don't necessarily tap out or anything. I'm there, but it's almost like it's a different kind of expression. It's like having to be. It's almost like seeing inside of you, which is really cool. It's like having to see inside of somebody else while letting go of yourself. And I think that's why a lot of bands do exist and so prolifically, is because they have that connection and they can really let go of themselves and see into another person. I like that.
Well, that's great, because, you know, we can actually go into, this is a great segue, Ash, because mm-hmm. this is one of the songs that we wrote together.
Yeah, we're going to finish off with Spun Sign.
Yeah, and then we're going to come back after that, and I just wanted to leave our listeners with a couple of things.
Okay,
so if Don would be so gracious as to play Hologram song Spun Sun for us.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Don. Maybe we didn't give him time.
We might not have given him time. Let's just say our last few words now.
All right. So our last few words before we leave you with our song Spun Sun of Everyone, which we're going to be shooting the music video for this week. And we will keep you informed as to what's going to be happening with that.
Yeah, we're really excited. We'll
just
post updates.
I want to leave you with a couple of quotes just from Joseph Campbell. Life has no meaning. Each of us has meaning, and we bring it to life. It is a waste to be asking the question when you are the answer. And we must be willing to let go of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. So let's all be fearless. Let's all step into our bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all just have faith and trust that we truly can be in our bliss, and our lives will not only thrive, but they'll also have great meaning.
Yeah, we'll probably have to do a part two even of this show, because we didn't get to talk about ritual much or we talked about mostly bliss and
it's
Joseph Campbell.
Well, I think it was
that's
relevant.
That's a good thing, right? We can call it our Joseph Campbell show.
All right. We love you much. Kiss trees and love each other. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, can't wait to give you some more news soon.
Bye.
Bye.
From the spun sun of everyone, putting down the loaded gun, wandering still my precious soul. Letting humans run the course, not yours to do what you will, finding the time to get your we'll be right back. just been.